You have arrived at your destination.
Hi, this is Gene Simmons from KISS, and you're listening to Sean vs. Wild. And guess what? Now that you've heard this, you owe me $29.95. Go to kissonline.com. Boom.
Everybody, another exciting edition of America's favorite podcast, Sean versus Wild, is coming at you right now. It's time to rock and roll all night and podcast every Tuesday. And of course, I'm your host, as always, the man, the myth, the Sean Thriller Smith, the guy putting rad back into talk radio. That's right, guys. You wanted the best, you got the best, the hottest podcast ever, Sean versus Wild. Hope you guys are having a great week so far. I know that my week has started off pretty awesome. I'm hoping to continue the momentum all the way up through the week. So glad that you could join me here today. And speaking of joining me, I'm talking to Benny Scholl, frontman and my new best friend, frontman of the band Avoid. They've got a brand new album out August 31st on Revival Recordings. It's called Alone. And listeners, you're going to get a sneak peek at what's going on here because we're going to be playing one of those hot new tracks before the album even drops, and we're doing it right here on Sean vs. Wild. I had a great time talking to Benny. Again, one of those things where you don't know somebody going into it, and then you're complete homies by the end of it, and I think you'll hear it by the end of this conversation. So totally enjoyed it. Guys, I have been out and about these past few weeks. You guys might have seen me at Magbar at that Grey Haven Fox Bat show. Last week, I was at the Never Nervous barbecue. Saw my good friend's first show, Prayer Line. If you haven't yet, check him out. Jake Hellman from Never Nervous. You guys know him from our wrestling podcast together. His band, fantastic. Big shout out to Austin. Good thing you didn't beef your solo, brother. Yeah. And dude, I had a great time. So glad to see everybody. Nice to see all these new faces. I'm networking. So if you are a new listener, welcome to the show. This is the format that you are going to get. So hopefully you like it. But yeah, great podcast here today with Benny. I got to give a big shout out to my boy Joe Brock. He's booping the dials this week. He booped the dials last week, and he'll be booping them well into our old age together because that's just how we roll. So Joe, big thanks for keeping this show going. Also, big shout out to Audiophile Inc. I just ran into Shane this weekend, and he has been busy as ever printing awesome merchandise, and he can do the same for you. All you got to do is go to audiophileinc.com and place your order. He's going to give you the best deal in town on your screen printing needs, no matter what town you live in, and he ships to all 50 nifty United States. Guys, there's a plane in the background. You might have heard it, and if you didn't hear it, I'm just going to draw attention to it anyway. I'm not going to stop the momentum of this intro just because of a plane. And also, big shout out to Audible, great sponsor there. All you have to do is go to audibletrial.com/Sean versus Wild, audibletrial.com/Sean versus Wild. Log in on your PCs, man, on your Commodore 64s, and sign up for a free 30-day trial of Audible. Get you an audiobook, over 180,000 audiobooks for you to choose from. audibletrial.com/Sean versus Wild. When you sign up, you get to keep that book, no matter if you keep Audible or not. And when you do, they're going to give me some money. And hey, who doesn't want money? Who doesn't want to be able to pay the light bill? We're making it happen here, guys. We're keeping the lights on here at the Smithsonian, and it's all because of you. audibletrial.com/Sean versus Wild. You know what, guys? I think that's going to be it for me here on this intro. We're going to keep it short. We're going to keep it sweet. And yeah, this is my conversation with Benny from Avoid. You're not going to want to avoid this episode. Did you see what I did there? It's fantastic. But guys, it's time to get wild right here, this week, right now, on the Sean versus Wild podcast.
Awesome.
I'm still going to send it.
Send it, brother.
Dude, the fact that you quoted Larry Entiser right before this podcast started, that's when I knew you and I were going to be best friends.
Best friends, mates to be. We're here to party.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, Larry Entiser is a Canadian treasure. I love the fact that his jeans and his jean jacket, same color. The guy's fat. He's got a mullet. He's got those wraparound shades that are polarized. And all he does is the most insane jumps on a snowmobile ever.
love that shit. And I just love that because that term send it is becoming so popularized and no one realizes it comes from fucking snowmobiling.
Yeah, exactly. I'm still going to send. Dude, have you seen him? Like, he just like makes it all the way across a pond. And I'm like, how is this possible?
I haven't seen that.
Dude, he'll make it across a pond.
I'll be real. I need to get more refreshed on it because I'll be real. I'm familiar with it and I say the jokes, but I'm not the most brushed up on it as I should be.
Don't worry about
it. I'll admit it. I'll admit my flaws.
Exactly, dude. You're an open book. Honest. Like you said, you're a free bird, man. Just like Lynyrd Skynyrd.
I'm a free bird. I'll talk about anything you want and more.
Dude, that's what I love. I love that attitude. And don't worry, I'll be sending you some Larry Enticer links to entice you into watching more of those
videos. Please
do. You're going to love it. So, dude, you were telling me that you just came from band practice, and you are pumped. I can tell you're pumped, and that's what I want that kind of energy here on the podcast.
I'm always full of way too much energy. I'll be real.
So you're always running at like 150%?
If not more, man. It doesn't stop. I have really, really, really bad ADHD, and I never got properly medicated on it, so then I never did. So I'm just hyper 25/8. You know what I'm saying?
I love it. That's how you know you're going to have a good interview. That we're just going to talk about everything and anything.
That's fun. I love that shit, man.
Dude, let me tell you this, okay? I've said in this podcast before, now I'm going to feel bad because I'm actually talking to a native here. But I've mentioned on the podcast before that one of my absolute least favorite places to play was Seattle, Washington. And I noticed on your bio today, because you and I haven't hung out face-to-face before. We're hanging out now. We're getting to know each other right now. Yeah. But I saw Seattle, Washington on that bio, and I was like, man, we're gonna have some words about Seattle. What are your thoughts on Seattle?
So I agree with you because you're not from here. And I don't mean that in a super fucked up way, but the scene up here is really weird. And I'm one of the promoters in the scene, so I book a lot of the shows up here. And I can say it's gotten a lot better.
Nice.
Like, because when was the last time you played here?
2016, we played at the Funhouse back in the day.
Yep. That's where I work. I work at El Corazon in the Funhouse. That's where I book at.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah. And so I will say, I mean, 2016 was the year that it all started. But 2017 and this year, it's been a lot better. But it's a really tough market to break into because it's better than Portland, but it's not good enough that you really want to spend the gas money to get here if you're not from here.
Yeah, that's the hard thing. It's like, but I always imagine it's like, dude, you live in Seattle. I'm sure every fucking asshole for the last 30 years has moved to Seattle to try to make music happen. You know what I'm saying? Because the Seattle scene.
It's insane, man. And it's awesome because there are really a lot of incredible bands here, and there's a lot of bands that do not get the recognition they should that are from here, and a lot of talented musicians, but it gets a little overpopulated sometimes.
Yeah, you know, I actually did go, though, like, after our show, randomly, one of my friends here from Louisville, one of our mutual friends, I should say, of the band, hit us up, just said, hey, I'm in Seattle, I'm at this party, there's a show. There's a band playing in this venue, in this basement of this guy's house, and there's a ton of people here. There's a ton of food. You got to go. And as soon as I left that venue, like I went there, it was just like the music I expected to hear in Seattle. It was like a kind of sounded like a trippy Dave Matthews Band type thing, and I was like, all right, man, I can deal with this.
That sounds like Seattle.
Yep. And then I just had a ball. So 50-50 on Seattle for me there, buddy.
Well, yeah, I think as far as city goes, it's one of the best places. As far as the scene, it's being rebuilt. It's in the rebuild. It has some rebuilding years to do.
Yeah, well,
I love it here, and because I've toured so much and I've gone, it's just there's nowhere better. I don't think.
What's your least favorite place? Okay, I know I said Seattle here. I don't want to crap on your home. I don't want to crap on
your
hometown.
No, it's okay.
Bro. What's your least favorite place?
My least. Oof. Oh, Kansas as an entirety.
I feel that. I've broken down in
Wyoming.
Kansas several times. Oh, and I spent a week broken down in Wyoming as well.
Oh, those are the two worst places in the whole world.
Dude, a couple New Mexico with that, and then like basically touring there is just hell on earth. I mean, they're all cool places to go in, to go to, and like the people are cool. But for some reason, our van troubles always happen in Kansas, Wyoming, or New Mexico.
Those are the three worst places to break down. Albuquerque, well, in New Mexico, we've only really spent time in Albuquerque. And I love the shows, but that place sketches me the fuck out.
Dude, whenever I went, it was like in the middle of a dust storm. So like I had like a scarf like around my face as I'm like loading in the gear. I felt like I was like in Dune or something, or like Mad Max. You know what I'm saying? Like just came in and I just came in and just like, you know, you're shaking dirt off of you to when you're loading into the venue. It was pretty insane.
That's nuts. I remember the fucking last time we played in Albuquerque, we were hanging out in the back alley. I'm not going to say the venue just because, you know, I just feel like that's one of those things I should leave out. But we were loading in the back alley of this venue, and we were just hanging out after we loaded in. And this dude in broad daylight just comes walking right by our trailer, right by all of us. And he's holding a machete. Doesn't look at us, doesn't do anything to us, but he's just holding a giant ass machete. Just walking freely down the fucking road. It was terrifying.
Yeah, I would be terrified also. Because, you know, there's no, I don't know, wilderness to cut down in any, it's, you know, it's just New Mexico. It's just the way it is. There is no trees to cut down.
And it's like, yeah, there's that TV show, but there really is a lot of meth there. And, you know, someone that's fucking bugging out on meth with a machete, and I'm in the wrong place at the wrong time, it's a recipe for disaster.
Dude, I feel that. I don't know if you've ever seen or heard of a show called Live PD.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you watch them shits? There's a place, there's a city that's on there. It's called Jeffersonville, Indiana, okay?
Fuck.
The thing is that's where I live. It's right across the bridge from Louisville, Kentucky. That is literally where I live. And one day I'm like, oh, shit, we're on Live PD. And then I get on Netflix and, like, there's a... there's like an A&E show, like 60 Days In, that's filmed in Jeff. And then there's a show about the women's prison that's like 20 minutes away on Netflix. And I'm just like, damn, dude, for the rest of the world, people think we're probably fucking crazy. But I'm sure just the mayor like signed a deal. It was like, look, guys, we need to make more money for the city.
Yeah, for real.
But yeah, I think there's just a lot of I think when there's not a lot to do, drugs are going to be a big part of the culture because there's just. Nothing else.
There's
for
just
people
nothing
to do,
and it gives you something to do.
Exactly. But guys, this isn't just the Live PD 60 Days In podcast. This is actually the Sean versus Wild podcast, I will have you know. And I'm sitting down today with my new best friend, as you heard. I'm talking to Benny Scholl, frontman for Avoid, one of my favorite bands on Revival Recordings. Benny, so great to have you here in the virtual Smithsonian today.
Thank you so much for having me, man. Pleasure to be here.
Dude, no problem. I've been jamming your guys' album all week, the singles that are on Spotify. I cannot wait for them to be collaborated into your full length. And guys, that full length is called Alone, and it comes out on August 31st from Revival Recordings. You gotta pick it up right now, okay? First and foremost. Now that we've got all my hatred of Seattle aside, okay. Now that that's been cleared up and Seattle's back on my positive checklist here, Benny, dude, tell me a little bit because you know this is the first time we get a chance to ever sit down and chat, dude. Tell me about yourself growing up, dude. How did you get into music in general?
So music was kind of always one of those release things for me. It was always what I turned to. When life turned not so grand in my brain, because I've always had a little bit of a mental illness since I was a little kid. And so music was always one of those things that I always turned to make me feel better, because I would just go see some psyches sometimes and they would try to diagnose me with this and that. And I don't know, music was always one of those things that I turned to. And so early on, because I'm 20, so I got into it really, really young. And so I just kind of started singing and playing drums when I was a little kid. And that was always when I played drums to get all of my anger, all of everything out. And so that was what I first started with. And then kind of just took lessons for some years, played by myself. Didn't have a ton of friends growing up, so that's just what I did. And then when I got into middle school, I met my buddy Nick. And so then him and I started jamming together and started our very first band, which was called Avoid the Void. So then that's when it all started. You know, when I was like 13, 14 years old is when the project that is now Avoid started.
So that's when the seed was planted. Man, only 20 years old. You are getting in on the ground floor, dude. The music business is a young man's game. Trust me, I'm 32, so I don't play music anymore.
Yeah.
I do a podcast, for crying out loud. You know what I'm saying? So you you are at the primo spot in your life, and you guys already have... You know, you guys already have your shit together. The songs that I've been listening to have been just absolutely fantastic.
Thank you so much, man. Really, thank you.
Hey, I appreciate that. So how do you go from Avoid the Void to the Avoid that we know today?
So that's a long story. So forgive me. I'm probably going to ramble for a sec, but... Avoid the Void started with my buddy Nick, and there's two Nicks in this story, but started with my buddy Nick, and we were jamming in choir class. So he was a guitar player and I was a drummer, and we just wanted any excuse possible to ditch choir class. And one day we got passed out music that had drum and guitar music on the bottom, and we begged our teacher that we could be like the band accompaniment for the song. And so they gave us a month to learn this song that was two chords and a simple repeat drum beat. And so we learned it in a day and spent the rest of that month jamming and writing our first ever songs, you know, like really shitty fucking power chord pop punk riffs. And that was the first ever experience. And that's when you could say I got the quote unquote bug that right. everyone gets when they play music. And so we did that. And then we did a summer rock band camp from that my drum teacher used to host. And there we met my buddy, the other Nick, who is also, who's now, he's still in Avoid. Him and me have been doing this for, yeah, now 6 years. So him and me and Nick are jamming out, and Nick was also a drummer, Nick Olson, the new Nick. Sorry, this is going to get a little confusing. There's Nick, and then the other one, we always called him Shaq. So there's Nick and there's Shaq. So Nick and I would take turns playing drums and singing in the band, and Shaq would always just play guitar. And after a while, we did it, and we couldn't find a singer we liked, so I finally just said, fuck it, I'll do it. And we got our buddy from high school, David, to start playing with us. And that's when the initial Avoid the Void thing started.
Gotcha.
So we did that for a few years. We did that for Avoid the Void of the thing for about 5 years. And that's where we did all of the, played the local shows, selling the tickets, doing everything we could to build our band up, begging promoters to let us open for the national shows. And then we got our first taste of touring there too. When we started touring, when I think I was 17 is when we went on our first like real tour, where it was more than just like regional dates in our home state, but we actually went down through California and Arizona and Utah and shit like that. And so we did that. And so that started, we did touring for a few years with that. And eventually we just got kind of bummed at where we were at. And we were like, you know, we've been a band for 5 years and we haven't gotten the traction we wanted. And we don't love the name. We feel like this is like our little kid shit. And so, and then we got a cool t-shirt design that had a void, and then there was a dash through it that said the void. So it just looked like a giant Avoid logo. And that was when the idea sparked to rebrand as Avoid and be a brand new band on paper so that we could come out swinging as strong as we've ever been, put all the old shit aside, but it, you know, it's Avoid. So all the Avoid the Void fans that we had made will kind of still come along with us, but to the industry, to everyone else, we are a brand new band on paper. And so that was how Avoid the Void became Avoid in the TLDR version.
Gotcha. Hey, man, you did the right thing, okay? And the reason why I say that is, yeah, rebranding, that's important. But here's the real right thing you did. You stopped playing drums and you started singing. I'm talking to you as a drummer here. I was a drummer and touring. Dude, carrying all that gear, lame. The amount of chicks that you can get as a singer as opposed to a drummer, astronomically more, you know. So you're in the right business now, sir. You're making it happen. You're doing what I should have done years ago.
I really do enjoy it.
Yeah, I bet you do.
It came natural with the ADHD, you know. I just had so much energy that I couldn't help but want to jump around on stage the whole time.
Dude, you know who's randomly a great drummer that's also the front man of a band? Is
who
the lead singer of Godsmack?
I actually knew that because I saw Godsmack when I was 15.
Oh, dude. What kind of music got you into like basically what you're doing now? Like, what's the band that you found? Because if you've seen Godsmack, I grew up like basically, I was like, I grew up on country music because my mom made me listen to it. Then I found classic rock. Then I found new metal on my own. And then I was so into like new metal. And then I found punk and I was like, okay, I'm a punk rocker now. I've told that story on the podcast a lot. So that's the abbreviated version. But what is the, what are the bands and stuff that got you into being like, dude, I want to play music?
So the first band that I ever, ever fell in love with when I was in like third grade was Green Day. And I thought it was just, I think it was right when American Idiot came out. And that was the first album I ever got on CD. And it was so pissed off and it said fuck. And my mom didn't like that. And I thought that that was cool. And I just, that was just what made me just fall in love with quote unquote punk rock. Because then I found old school punk like the Ramones and, you know, Operation Ivy and all that shit. And then I really loved punk. But Green Day was what really started that love for alternative music.
You just made me feel really and old, man, because American Idiot came out when I was a senior in high school.
Fuck.
But yeah.
I'm used to being the young guy. Our bass player is 26. He's turning 27 this year, and he's so bummed.
Right, yeah, because you're just like, oh, damn it.
I make him feel so old. It's so great.
I'm in the twilight of my musical career at 27. But yeah, so Green Day, would you say is the band? What other bands? So did you just find them?
Yeah, so from
on like Spotify or something? Is that what you used?
No, I was still before the Spotify age. LimeWire, my guy.
Okay, gotcha.
I was into that illegal downloading music.
I was on FrostWire, LimeWire, all that good sort of thing from back in the day.
Oh yeah,
I used to spend hours.
But I think
I used to spend hours because I was going to say, dude, I used to spend hours like at my grandparents' house because they had faster internet connection. And I would just download all of the shit onto my grandparents' computer that they never used because their internet connection was, we basically live in the same plot there where growing up, my mom is basically next door neighbors with my grandparents, but we have like a couple acres that separate our land there. And the thing is like, if you go 2 acres down, the internet connection was astronomically faster than what I had at my mom. So I would just go download everything there, burn it to a CD and then take it with me from LimeWire.
Fuck yeah. That's awesome. But yeah, from there it was Green Day and like Sum 41. And all of that kind of stuff is what really got me stoked on it. But then that really went into bands like nu metal, like Linkin Park, Korn, Limp Bizkit. Limp Bizkit's still like top three favorite bands of all time. I don't care what anyone fucking says. I'm so down with it.
Dude, did you hear Gold Cobra? And
I did, and it fucking slapped.
Dude, it's awesome. I feel
it
like
is, man. It's very underrated.
Yeah, it didn't get the praise that it deserved, but I thought it was pretty freaking badass, actually. I said freaking, I'm not sure. It was pretty fucking
for
badass.
2011, they haven't done music in a minute, and that was their comeback. It slapped, man. I was what I could be stoked for.
Limp Bizkit, Fred Durst, I know you're listening, guys. Wes Borland, you're probably listening too. Guys, just get back together. Make another great album, okay?
No, dog, they are. Dude, did you not? They got announced on a ton of U.S. festivals this year.
But are they
a lot of the alternative music ones?
But is it? Was it like some sort of like nostalgia act, or are they going to come out with some new studio stuff?
That I don't know. I might just be a nostalgia money grab act, you know?
Well, I feel it. You know what, guys? You know, the late 90s, they're so hot right now. So you might as well just ride that train all the way to the bank.
I don't blame it one bit. It's hot. The style's back. The music's back. Everything's back.
I agree, dude. I've been on a big nu metal kick again lately. But the bands that I was like always into was like, I loved Korn and I loved Limp Bizkit, of course. And but I was like super into Disturbed and Static X.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I don't know if you ever got into Static X, but I was really into them too. They're like,
I was way into Static X.
Yeah, something about...
No, push it!
Exactly, dude. I feel like, basically, if you add, like, a little bit of electronic to the nu metal, I was like, this is perfect. This is awesome.
So you like Power Man 5000 and
shit. Oh, my God. Love Power Man 5000. I bought their album, like, it was like, at Target, and they're, like, a brand new band, and they with the new bands from Target, they would always sell their CDs for, like, $5.99. So I remember buying the Power Man CD for $5.99, and I was like, this is so awesome.
It was fucking hot. That was another band that should have gotten like a little bit, because I know they got big for a minute, but they should have, like, I feel like they're a name that didn't stay as big as it should have, you know?
Dude, the number one band that I felt was the most overlooked and awesomely talented band of the nu metal genre, even though they were classified as nu metal, not so much, was Alien Ant Farm. I always thought Alien Ant Farm was
100% back.
So
100% back.
So talented, and they were just like, okay, yeah, they do the cover of Smooth Criminal. I got it. And it's like, no, dude, this whole album is so good. Trust me.
So fucking good, dude. I loved that shit.
Dude, you know what? Maybe you and I, when this is all said and done, we just need to start a nu metal cover band, okay?
Dude, I'm honestly so about it. That's still like my everyday, that's what I go to. I just love that shit. Like, it's always my daily mix two on Spotify is my nu metal jams. And I can just be so satisfied and listen to that for hours.
Dude, I feel it, man. And I feel like a little bit of that. You know, you say that you loved like Static X and stuff like that. You know, when I was
Slipknot. That's what I need to bring up.
Oh yeah,
Slipknot was a big one for me,
dude. Okay, so this is old school. I'm going to tell you this story. Actually, I've told the story on the podcast, but I'll tell you the story because this is the first time you've heard it, listeners. Bear with me, goddammit.
Yeah.
But this. Okay, so I was like into nu metal, and I swear this girl on AOL. Chat, like an AOL chat room, was just like, hey, have you ever heard of Slipknot? And I was like, no. She's like, I'm from Iowa, they're a new band, they just got signed or whatever to Roadrunner, you should definitely check them out. So I was like,
no shit.
I was like, okay, cool. And so I went to a local record store here, and they actually had the album, and I looked at it, and I was like, oh my god, dude, they look absolutely insane. You know, it's the first album. I was like, man, they look absolutely insane. And so I bought it, and literally I remember putting it in, and like the second I put it in, I was like, this is the heaviest shit I have ever heard in my life. Like, I got through like,
and it's so good,
dude. I got through like the first two or three songs, and I just like had to turn it off. I was like, I don't even think I'm supposed to be listening to this, dude. Like,
right?
I had to have like a meeting with myself. But that album that I got, actually, turns out it was like the first edition CD. So you can kind of look this up here, but they have it's a first edition, so it has different songs than what they did when they re-released it. And then James Root, who wears like the jester mask, he was like in some sort of like black bondage bag mask or some shit like that on the cover.
Oh, shit.
And they went in and photoshopped that old mask out, and then they changed the actual CD cover. But I had the first edition, and wouldn't you know it, somebody, I went to a show right here in Louisville, and some scumbag broke into the car and stole that CD.
Fuck, man. And that scumbag probably didn't even realize what a piece of treasured art you had.
That's true. Damn you, scumbag. Damn you, Louisville
damn
scum.
You fucking... No, dude, I can say I didn't get into it, but Slipknot was one of those big ones for me. And most of my bandmates, like, that was we just fucking turned it on. We just headbanged to it. It was still on tour. That's like, we can listen to Slipknot all the way through and sing every album. And so that was like, we actually got to play Knotfest 1 year.
Dude.
And so that was one of the most full circle things I think ever in my entire life.
Dude, tell me about Knotfest. That's what I need to know about right now.
Knotfest was fucking nuts. We got to play Knotfest in 2015. And we won a contest in Seattle from, I don't know. I know they did some of it over in that. Do you remember Headbang for the Highway? And that fucking Sumerian Records, like battle for the bands and get you on All Stars tour and shit.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so it was one of those, and it was a special select West Coast one for Knotfest, and we were like, fuck, because we always kind of had a really bad mentality towards Battle of the Bands, but we were just like, but dude, what if we actually won and got to play Knotfest? Like, how crazy would that be, thinking like, there's no way we're actually going to win, and then we fucking won.
Dude, that's insane.
And so, yeah, and so then we got to go down and play Knotfest. When I was in high school during that. I was 17, and I had to get a permission slip to get excused from high school for a week, because we definitely made it a full week long excursion, because we were like, playing Knotfest, we're gonna have a fucking blast. So my teachers didn't believe me, and so I had to like get reference from my parents for it to be an excused absence from school.
Dude, did your hand hurt when you came back from all the fucking high fives that you had to give out? Because I'm sure you were the coolest kid in school.
Dude, you know the worst part about it? I wasn't. I was totally still, because I got bullied a lot in like elementary school and middle school, which I didn't get bullied a lot in high school, but it made me really keep to myself. Gotcha. And so I didn't. And so when the band was doing good, all my friends, everything I was doing in my life was so not around high school, because I grew up in a little suburb outside of Seattle that didn't have a giant alternative music scene. So no one really gave a shit that I was doing cool shit in the alternative music scene.
Right. Well, you know, I had a similar kind of thing. I grew up like fat throughout school. So it was like I had friends and I was always popular because I always talked to everybody and I was always like the class clown type of thing. But like when I was in high school, like that's when I started getting into this music, and I would go to shows and I started playing in bands. And it was like everything that I was doing is completely removed from anything anybody in this school is doing, and no one will know. You know what I'm saying? No one will know my accomplishment.
It's fucking nuts. But back to how Knotfest actually was. So yeah, we get down there and it was just the craziest festival. Like we got really lucky. So the main stage started at 5 and we had a 20-minute time slot and we played at 4:35. So everyone, and our stage was right next to the entrance to main stage. So, I mean, we didn't play to like a crazy sea of people or anything, but we got very lucky by the fact that people that were bored, that didn't want to go sit down in their seats yet, our stage was right next to where they were walking in, so they had nothing better to do but then to watch us.
Yes, yeah, so you got some of that congestion, really cool. You know what I'm saying? Some of those crowds walking in.
Yeah.
I got that.
But that was our first experience of like tour. Like they had like the rocks, the water and the Rockstar cans, because the whole thing was sponsored by Rockstar. And then in our backstage area, they had unlimited free Rockstar, and they had all these new unreleased flavors that they were like giving to the bands to try out. And so we just had cases and cases and cases of free Rockstar and water that we stole so many of before we left. We stole like 5 or 6 cases of Rock, because it was just there. We were like, fuck yeah, we're going to take it.
Oh, hey, what's up, man? You want that hot new Rockstar prototype? I got them shits.
Exactly.
He's like, man, that Rockstar don't come out for 2 months. Nuh-uh, man, I got them shits right here. Follow me into the van.
Exactly. And so that was just being there and just seeing the bands. It was just kind of one of those, like, just being engulfed by the experience.
Yeah, dude. Well, that's got to be one of the coolest experiences ever. I would love to have played Knotfest. Here's something that I want your opinion. Would you love to play the fucking Gathering of the Juggalos?
1,000%. Yo, this is going to go into my next story. We played with ICP on my birthday this year, and it was the best show of my entire life.
Dude, happy birthday to you.
I'm wearing an ICP shirt right now, no lie.
Dude, happy birthday to... We are best friends, okay? We're just 12
dude,
years
I'm
apart.
Dude, I'm so down with the fucking clown. I'm so down with it.
Dude, that's awesome. Yeah, dude, have you ever seen, like, they do, like, JCW? They have, like, Juggalo Championship Wrestling. Have you seen that?
Yeah, we have it. We've actually had it at El Corazon, where I work at. So it's been crazy seeing those shows.
Dude, how did you get hooked up with ICP on your birthday of all days?
I just lucked out because the tour was coming through, and then I just hit up the promoter I'm very lucky to have a lot of the promoters in Seattle are really good friends of mine since I'm a promoter.
Right.
And so I just hit him up and I was like, hey, it's my birthday. Cause it was a tour with Attila and Siler and stuff, that big tour that happened earlier this year. And so most of the dates didn't have local bands or any extra support bands on it. And so I don't know what happened. So the promoters put us on the show, which later we actually weren't ever on the show, which is really funny. They never actually got us cleared by the TM. And so we just showed up with all of our gear and they were like, well, we're here. And so we still got to play.
Nice, dude.
Yeah. And so we'd been promoting the show for a minute, but yeah, we showed up and got to, yeah, the promoter just threw us a bone and let us play. Dude, we just got very lucky.
That's some old school boots on ground marketing. Listeners out there, if you're in a band, let that be a lesson to you, dude. If you want to play with fucking ICP, check it out. Just show up with your gear. Maybe somebody will throw you a freaking bone, man.
Yeah, really. And it was sold out too. And it was just, I was really nervous because I had not, this is before I was a turned ICP fan from that. I was never opposed to it because I was so stoked to play the show, but I didn't understand Juggalo culture and get any of it yet. But that whole experience, man, we were welcomed in with such like open arms, because we just made it very clear that we were there for them and we were about them. And dude, we got welcomed in better than any metal show we've ever played, like straight metal. We were playing with Attila and shit, but it was weird, man. Those fans, if you show them that you're about them, they fucking love you and they're loyal to you and they treat you with such kindness and such respect.
Dude, and also too, you know, if you ever run across, if people are fans of ICP, it seems like if they're fans of ICP, KISS, or professional wrestling, dude, they will be loyal through the good times and the bad times, and they will buy anything that has your name or their name on it. You know what I'm saying? They'll buy like all
dude,
the merch.
For real, man.
So if you get in with them,
it's an empire.
Exactly. Listeners, also, that's another pro tip. Get in.
Build an empire.
Build an empire, bro. That's what's up.
That's what you got to do. Fuck all the other. Just build an empire. Don't even think about it. Just do it.
Exactly. Well, I'll tell you what, guys. At this point of the podcast, I think, you know, we're talking all this stuff. We're talking KnotFest. We're talking about the gathering of the Juggalos and all of our great experiences. But the one thing that we need to talk about is your brand new album that you have coming out.
Yes.
On August.
Brand new album.
31st. And before we get into that, I want to give everyone, all of you listeners, a sneak peek of one of the tracks that you are going to be able to check out on this new album. It will melt your freaking, I don't know. It'll melt your mind, bro. It'll melt your mind is what's going to happen. But yeah, so
you melt your fucking face off, bro.
Exactly. So you have prepared a piece. It is called Thoughts of You. Give me the background deets before we go in. Lead us into the song. What's this thing about?
It's about getting yourself out of a bad situation.
In
the simplest terms, it's about getting yourself out of a bad situation and coming to terms with being okay with yourself.
Absolutely. Guys, definitely come to terms with yourself. Definitely get yourself out of a bad situation.
And it's a feel-good song. We want you to feel good. It's supposed to be positive.
Dude, I read something that like somebody posted. Do you ever have like those people that repost like word porn or whatever? And they're like, hey.
Oh yeah.
They're like, the one that I actually saw today, it's funny that that's what that song's about, because the one that I actually saw today was just like, hey, here's a big up to those people that anytime something bad happens to them, they just pick themselves up and get right back out there and you know, try again and get themselves motivated and get themselves out of a negative situation. And I'm just like, damn, yeah. I feel that. And then that's what this song is about. This song is about word porn, is what you're saying.
This song is 100% about word porn.
Yes, guys, definitely check out word porn. You've probably seen it regrammed many times on Instagram. But in the meantime, we're going to check out the song Thoughts of You right now by Avoid.
Yeah!
All right, everybody. That was A Void with Thoughts of You on their brand new album, Alone, that comes out August 31st. That's one album you're not going to want to avoid, if you know what I'm saying. See what I did there? Jeez, guys. But yeah, new album. Tell me about like all the stuff that's going into this album, dude. Like, because we were talking before, and you're like, dude, the secret is you gotta do these singles. Tell me about how you guys released these singles and how the album came about and all that good sort of thing.
Yeah, so the album was a mixture of a lot of people's hard work, which I'll get into in a second. But to kind of touch base on the singles campaign, it was really cool because Revival Recordings this year, they did their Revival 52 campaign. Their thing was they released a new song every week from a different artist. And so it was very cool for us because we got to release songs every 4 to 6 weeks in preparation to getting people excited about our album. So we kind of rolled out this plan instead of, you know, putting two singles out and then like getting people like getting a little bit of buzz and then putting a full length album. We put out 6 singles for the album, and actually technically 7, our very, very first singles on the album too, that came out last year. But we did all that, and it was really cool because we were able to do videos and do big promotions for each single and get some Spotify playlist traction and do kind of stuff like that, which was able to really help gain hype for the album that comes out now in just a few weeks.
Yeah, dude. And listeners, I know I've been talking to you guys week in and week out about the Revival 52 playlist, but if you haven't yet, definitely hit follow on that thing on Spotify. And I will tell you, if you don't want to just go to Spotify and search for it, all you have to do is go to ffm.to/revival52 and give that thing a follow. That's foxtrotmotherfucker.to/revival52. So, yeah.
I fucking love that.
But yeah, dude, definitely do that. But yeah, so you guys decided to release a single, and yeah, so you guys are gaining traction as you're going. And how's the response been as you release
the
these every single week?
We're very lucky with this. The response has been, for the very most part, all very positive, which is really cool because something that's kind of different. We have a lot of different sounding songs that are coming out on this album. It's definitely not just the same song every time. And so we're always kind of nervous, like, well, this sounds a lot different than the next one. So I really hope people are going to like this one, but also like the next one. But for the most part, everything has been received with open arms, and people kind of like the differences in between the songs. And so it's been very cool.
Yeah, dude. And I mean, plus, I mean, good enough for the Beatles, right? Good enough for you guys. I mean, not every song on the White Album sounded the exact same last time I checked.
Very, very true.
You know what I'm saying? So basically what you're saying is Alone is just as good as the White Album.
I'm saying that Alone might even be a little better if you're a fan of heavier music.
Shots
not
fired.
If you like the Beatles, you're not going to like it better. But if you are like a little bit of a fan of heavier music, you'll like it better than the White Album.
It's like the Beatles if the Beatles were heavy as F. Okay, so
I think that's the best description of the album I can think of.
That's what needs to go on like the back cover, just like a review, a sound clip from me, like a sound bite that just said, like the Beatles if the Beatles were heavy as F.
AF.
Yeah.
Just the fucking slang.
Yeah. Not even AF or as fuck. Just as F.
As F.
Dude, that's heavy. As F. But yeah, dude.
Everyone will know what you mean.
Yeah. I think that they're going to be picking up what I'm laying down. I think that's one Da Vinci code. They're not going to need an entire novel to crack. You know what I'm saying?
Fuck yeah. No, but for real, I think everything, it's different and it's really exciting. And if you're a fan of all types of music, because there's some, even still to come out, there's some of the heaviest songs and the lightest songs on the album. So if you're a fan of all types of music, there's bound to be a song on there for you.
Dude, my big thing is, like, I'm a big fan of, like, Bring Me the Horizon, and you guys were giving me some Bring Me the Horizon type vibes. And then also, too, sometimes you're giving me, like, some, like, the Used Story of the Year type stuff going on, and I was like, damn, man, this is, like, an eclectic mix of, like, a bunch of stuff that I'm into.
Fuck yeah, man. I'm really glad to hear that, because the biggest thing we wanted to do, for the most part, is, like, be different, but have inspiration from all of our favorite bands. But, you know, but not sound like those bands.
Right. Well, you guys are nailing it, bro.
And thank you, man. I'm really, really proud of what we've created. And like I said, it was a collection of a lot of people's hard work. And so everyone in my band is so fucking incredible at what they do. And so it's awesome, man. I'm really stoked on it.
Awesome, dude. How did you guys, cause this is, you know, you guys are on Revival Recordings, and I've talked to a lot of people. You know, I've talked to Sean, I've talked to Alisana, you know, Sean from Alisana. I've talked to Funeral Portrait. My band was on Revival. I've talked to June Divided. I've talked to Alteris. A lot of people on the label. How did you guys get hooked up with them?
Yeah, this is a very cool story. So there's a band that used to be on Revival Recordings. They're no longer on there, but they're called Verses. And I used to tour manage for Verses. And so February of last year, Verses went out with Alisana, and I was on that tour. And so I actually got a chance to spend 2.5, almost 3 weeks with Sean and Aaron and all those guys. And Aaron and I actually got really, really close in those 2.5 weeks. So whatever the fuck it was. And after that, we just kind of stayed in touch, and Aaron actually started managing us. And so Aaron was is our manager. We kind of talked about, like, well, would Sean be interested? What would it be like? So we kind of like briefly talked about it for a while, but we never really talked about signing. We just kind of had Aaron managing us for a little bit. And then last summer we toured with another Revival Recordings artist, Shatterproof, and went over to North Carolina and played their day party at Hopscotch Festival. And that's where Sean told us he wanted to sign us, and kind of all went from there.
Yeah, dude. What did you think about North Carolina?
It was fun, man. We played at a gay bar. It was sick.
Hell yeah, dude. The gay bars in North Carolina are top notch. And guys, I don't know if
they're fucking rad. And there was a catwalk, and I got to do some dances on the catwalk during our set. Oh, man, I had a fucking blast.
Guys, if you're ever in the Asheville, North Carolina area, I don't know if it's still around, but Scandals used to be an old stomping ground of ours back in the day. So if you're ever in North Carolina, check out some of the nightlife is what we're saying here.
Check out some of the gay bars in North Carolina. They're bound to blow your mind.
Yeah, they're awesome. But dude, North Carolina, speaking of like some of my least favorite or some of my favorite places, North Carolina in general, one of my absolute favorite places to play. And
1,000% agree.
Never would have thought that that would have been the case, but it certainly is. Asheville, Charlotte, Raleigh, those three right there are just absolutely amazing every time.
No, we've had some of our most fun time. We spend a lot of time ever since we signed, because we spent a good amount of time out in North Carolina, whether it was tour. And then I've spent some time out there on other tours that I was on. And then when we signed, because we weren't on tour at the time when we signed, but my biggest thing is when we signed our very first record deal, I wanted to do it in person. I didn't want to do it over a photocopy, blah, blah, blah. So we actually flew out to North Carolina to sign our record deal when we got signed.
Hell
so we
yeah,
spent
dude.
A good couple days out there too. So it was really, really fun.
Dude, did you guys go to Demos Pizzeria? Big shout out to Demos. Next time you're there, if you don't go, you gotta go. Best pizza in Raleigh, North Carolina. Big shout out to Demos. Ooh. I know you're listening. You gotta go. It's the best slice ever. And the sandwiches are BA also. And you can get beers there. It's a win-win-win situation. You can't get beers there, Benny. But next year, you're gonna be all about getting those beers
next
there.
Next year, I can get so many beers there.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it sucks. I am. I've always been the only person on tour that's not 21.
So basically, yeah, that does suck, because you know I'm sure getting into clubs and stuff like that would be always probably a pain in the ass sometimes. But also too,
it got easier over the years because I learned how to talk to them.
Yeah, and you know. I'm creeping your Facebook here. You don't look that young, so you know what I'm saying?
Well, hey, I appreciate that.
Hey, don't worry about it, because in a couple years, you're going to be like, hey, dude, that guy said I looked old. What a fucking asshole. But yeah, dude, at least though, you know, I don't know. Like I said, you're in the prime of your life. You're at the right time. Don't worry about it. You got plenty of time to drink those beers, bro. And I know you wouldn't do that under the age of 21. That's for darn sure.
Dude, honestly, in general, I'm not a very big drinker. I'll be real. That's not the life I live. I'm from Washington State, so I'm a little bit more on the 420 side of things.
Yeah, I've heard about that. I heard a lot of young people go up to Seattle and partake in such a thing. So it's illegal as fuck here still. But yeah, that's what I've heard.
It's everywhere. Every fucking, like, if you're in downtown Seattle, every every block there's like three weed stores. It's just so fucking open and no one gives a shit.
Yeah, I heard when you cross the Washington border, they give you a fucking Dave Matthews Band CD and a joint right there at the border.
Dude, basically, and that's when I totally even forgot to mention this earlier. What I grew up on, I grew up on Dave Matthews Band. And it's funny because I know you made a joke about that earlier. And so Dave Matthews Band is very much in partake of my, they coincide, I guess.
Yeah. You could say that you guys just kind of crash into each other.
Into each other. Dude, for real. All I'm saying, if you guys have never tried this, and only if you're in a state that's legal, we don't want to do any illegal shit, but light up a joint and listen to a Dave Matthews Band record, and you'll appreciate it like you've never appreciated music before.
Hey, dude, all you got to do is get fucked up on drugs, and sure enough, you'll like Dave Matthews Band. That's what you're saying. I'm basically reading into what you're saying. Coming through loud and clear, Benny. Loud and clear.
Loud.
But yeah, so that's awesome though. Like, and you went there, signed it in person, inked that deal, and yeah, dude, and now you've got an album that is going to be fucking out on August 31st.
It's crazy, man. It's been a wild year. It's been a wild fucking year, because like September like 2nd is when we played in North Carolina last year. So it really was just like the craziest year of things happening, from getting signed to writing. And like, we wrote a lot of the album within this last year too. And so it was just a full fucking crazy. And we did a decent amount of touring. So it was just nonstop.
What kind of like concepts and stuff like that? Like, what are some of the details about the album? I mean, are you just writing about the experience of, dude, now we, you know, we're doing these big things, or what kind of themes are on this album?
I think the biggest theme, it would come, a lot of our lyrics come from places of kind of being dark in your head when you're just going through those really bad times in life. And so that's where a lot of us get our inspiration from, and kind of why we play music is a way of release for us. And so a lot of the songs are kind of about feeling alone.
Yeah. Is that a product of Seattle? You know, from an outsider, you always hear, it's like, man, people are depressed there because it rains all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I would say so. I would say seasonal depression is very, very real. Our summers are fucking awesome, but they're very much so only 3 months a year. And we have about 9 months of just, it's like, it doesn't rain like it rains in the South, like those fucking torrential downpours. We don't really get those. It's just kind of like a light drizzle. It's just misty all the time. It's misty and gray.
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of The Killing, and that's exactly what it looks like on every episode when they're like, you know, trying to solve murders.
Yeah, but the thing about it, though, is it never gets too hot and it never gets too cold. It's very comfortable to live here.
Yeah, you just got to have a cardigan, man. Look at Kurt Cobain. You know, just a cardigan or a flannel will do you.
A cardigan and fucking Pearl Jam. I saw Pearl Jam last week, and that shit was awesome, man.
Dude,
50,000 people were there.
I actually just jammed out to 10 like a week ago. Like, I went on like last week, I was like, okay, I'm gonna listen to Pearl Jam's 10. I'm gonna listen to Dirt by Alice in Chains. I'm gonna listen to, you know, In Utero, and like that was just like my workday playlist. So you just saw Pearl
Dude,
Jam.
Dude, it's never a bad. You gotta do it once in a while. You know, it's just it's always good to do. It's some great fucking music.
Dude, I agree. Man, I'm going to have to get you hip, too, to some of these bands that are coming out of Louisville right now, because that kind of, like, early 90s sound is so, like, ingrained in, like, the music that's coming out of Louisville right now, which is kind of strange. Like,
well, dude, I'm not in touch with that, but the Louisville hardcore scene is fucking nuts.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. Like, have you ever heard of, like, a band called Greyhaven?
Oh yeah, super familiar.
Yeah, dude, those are my homies. But I like when I hear that, I'm like, dude, it's heavy. But I can totally hear like the early '90s, like that sort of influence. And me knowing Brent, knowing that he's a huge Nirvana fan and a huge fan of music of that era, I'm like, you can totally tell. You know what I'm saying? But like,
no, I love. Yeah, it's so sick. I'm very. Yeah, I'm a big fan of that band, and they're doing some cool shit.
I did make an awesome joke. Whenever we were in Seattle, someone was like, dude, let's go see, you know, Kurt Cobain's house. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to Kurt Cobain's house or anything like that, but
Basically, I have, yeah.
Yeah, well, we went at night, and I'm pretty sure that the house that they thought was Kurt Cobain's house definitely was not Kurt Cobain's house. But, you know, we were, like, there was, like, this huge, you know, wall and, like, this huge tree. And I'm, like, sitting there trying to look at it, look at this house, you know, just feast my eyes on it. And I was just like, dude, I can't see anything. There's something in the way.
You have to go in the daytime because there is a giant tree. You have to go in the daytime to really see it and experience it, you know?
But yeah, I was just like, dude, I can't see anything. There's something in the way. Nailed it. Nothing like a great Kurt Cobain joke to really tie this podcast together.
Nothing like a fucking Kurt Cobain joke.
Yeah.
It's everywhere we go, too, man. That's like, if they find out we're from Seattle, that stuff. Dude, Nirvana, dude, fuck yeah, Soundgarden. It's like the only thing. It's like the only thing people know about Seattle, especially when you're into alternative music. So it's the first thing that anyone says.
Here's what I know about Seattle, okay, from somebody that's in Louisville, Kentucky. One, grunge music. Two, the Seattle Supersonics. Three, the Space Needle. Four, Sleepless in Seattle. Five, Free Willy.
Yeah, that's about it.
That's what I knew going into it.
And Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, haven't seen it. Never watched it, but now I know. Grey's Anatomy, add it to the list. The Killing, add it to the list. But yeah, that's about all I know about Seattle. Starbucks, nailed it. That's a big thing, Starbucks.
Starbucks, that's a big thing. Amazon, Google, Microsoft.
We're just naming
everything
companies.
All those started here, and all their headquarters are here.
Well, there you go.
Or all their headquarters are here. Sorry, correct me. My bandmates are yelling at me now because they're technology nerds. Correct me. What is the correct history?
They have a head.
Okay, Google didn't start here. They just have a building here.
Yeah, I've been to Google's thing. It's in Mountain View, California.
Yeah, well, there's a big building here, and it created a lot of jobs.
Hey, and guess what? Seattle is like, isn't that where their Amazon's doing like their grocery stores?
Yeah, that's where they're starting to do those fucking the self everything grocery stores.
Yeah, I gotcha. What are your thoughts on Starbucks? Are you a fan of Starbucks?
I am. There's just better coffee, I think. But I do like Starbucks. It's always a good place, especially when you're on tour. It makes you feel like you're at home because it started here.
Yeah, it's dependable. See, my thing is like I think Starbucks is fine, but I don't know. Maybe it's just years of being on the road. But here's some things I don't like to pay for, I don't like to pay a lot for, especially when like if I'm at home or if I'm going to the grocery, I'll buy the shit out of these things. But if I'm out, no sir. Coffee is definitely one of them.
Yeah.
If I get coffee, I'm just
it's like $5. Yeah.
I'm just going to go to the gas station and get coffee. Okay. MBD. No big deal. I don't need to start my morning off with a chai latte. Also, I don't want to ever buy soup at a restaurant ever or spaghetti at a restaurant ever.
Feel you.
Because it's like, dude, would you like this bowl of soup? It's $8. And I'm like, I could make soup myself at home for a nickel.
For real.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you on that.
No, I didn't even know what I was going to say. I was just fucking segueing.
We're just making it happen, bro. But yeah, August 31st, of course, you got to pick up a copy of Alone by Avoid on Revival Recordings. I'm going to be picking it up day one, of course. But let me ask you, too, from here, you know, August 31st is whenever the album drops. What are your plans after August 31st?
It's going to be busy. We have a lot of fall and like winter stuff in the works. So we're just going to be very active. And then next year, it's going to be nonstop touring. Next year, we're going to be doing probably 8 to 12 months of just straight touring next year.
Dude, I feel that. That's a lot of touring, man. You guys are road warriors.
We're ready. I mean, we're ready to pay our dues, you know?
I feel it. And you guys are in the prime of your life, so you got to do it now, okay? Do it while you're young. Man, make that money. Make it happen, brother.
That's what we can lose. We can lose and damage our credit because then, you know, if it works out in 5 years, we'll be making enough money to pay it all back.
Exactly. Guys, let that be a financial lesson to everyone, okay? From the fiscal jackhammer, Benny Scholl, to you.
Things will always work themselves out, so just do it.
Yeah, exactly. Screw it. Do it. All right. Don't waste any more time. Just get out there and make magic happen.
In a weird way, though, I actually do live my life by that.
Dude, so do I. So that's why I said it. So the fact that that just further cements why we are best friends.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like if you think about everything too much, you're never going to get those experiences that, you know, are what life's about. Because when you're fucking 80 years old, you're not going to give a shit about the degree you did for 9 years to be this medical thing. You're going to remember those times with your friends when you were doing crazy fucking fun shit.
Exactly. And so many people like get it in their head. They're like, well, man, I don't, if I try this, I'll fail and it'll be terrible. And it's like, dude, there's failure is where you learn. So go out there, try it, fail, understand what you did, and then go back out there and do it a little bit better and a little bit better until you're awesome. You know?
And it's not like failing isn't fun the whole way. You still learn and you still have good times.
Exactly.
There's bliss in failing.
Dude, there totally is. Exactly. And again, how many people do you know learned from their success? A lot of people learn from their success. They learn from their failures, and then success is what's garnered from that knowledge. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're like, that didn't fucking work. Better not do that again.
Exactly. So, and even when you succeed, it's like, I have all this money, and then you just go blow it, and you're like, oh, well, that's a failure. I better not do that again. Let's try to make it happen.
For real.
So yeah, be like Kenny G and invest in Starbucks, guys. You know, I heard a podcast.
Hey, there's another Seattle guy.
That's what I'm saying, dude. He said I listened to a podcast with him. He said he sold 100 million albums worldwide, and he's made more money off of his Starbucks investment than he ever has in music.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That sounds about right. Kenny G's a fucking badass. Dude, can we talk about that?
Dude, big shout out to Kenny G. If you don't follow his Twitter, you have to. It is awesome.
So good.
Yeah, dude. His Twitter is amazing. I retweet him all the time. He's so good.
Bill Nye is great, too. He's a great other person on Twitter and another Seattle person.
Man, you guys are just racking it up. Well, here's who we have from Louisville. Tom Cruise, Hunter S. Thompson, Jennifer Lawrence, and a cast of other people as well that I can't think of off the top of my head. But Jennifer Lawrence is the big one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that hot new band Knocked Loose.
And we have the hot new band Knocked Loose, that hot new band Greyhaven. Big shout out to both. Big shout out to Foxbat. And if you haven't checked them out, you got to check them out immediately because they're awesome too, man. We're making it happen here in Louisville.
Big shout out for real. Those bands are doing some crazy big shit. And like just seeing Knocked Loose's, I've followed Knocked Loose for a long time. And just seeing them, their success is just so cool, man.
Well, yeah, I agree.
And I'm sure you've been familiar with them for a minute.
Oh, yeah, dude. I mean, when they were, you know, younger, other bands, I've toured with all those, you know, a lot of those guys before. I've hung out with them all, you know, several times. And, dude, I am always excited when just a hometown here, like a hometown kid makes it happen. You know what I'm saying? So.
Right. And it's, they're really young, too.
Yeah, dude. So let that be an inspiration to you. You guys can be the next Knocked Loose. Or you guys can be just the next Avoid and do your own thing.
The next Avoid will be our own fucking thing. That's never happened before.
Exactly, bro. You're going to make it happen. And listeners, you have to make it happen for my dude, Benny. Go out there, get a copy of Alone by Avoid. Again, August 31st. There's a lot of A's in there, dude. A lot of alliteration. Avoid, Alone.
Alone. By a Void, August 31st.
Yes. How's that for some alliteration on Revival Recordings? But yeah, so go ahead.
No, continue.
I was just going to say, dude, as we were kind of riding off here into the proverbial sunset, dude, as we're drifting, you know, into the dreary fog of a Seattle evening.
Yeah, for real.
Dude.
So bright as shit outside.
Oh, nice. Well, I'm in the middle of like the storm of the century, two nights in a row. So it's just rained for two nights, like ridiculously here.
Oh, really?
But yeah, as we kind of ride off into the sunset there in your neck of the woods, where can people find you guys on your social media?
You can find us at www.facebook.com/avoidpnw, Twitter at avoidpnw, and Instagram at @weareavoid. We're very active and we respond to pretty much everything. So come be friends with us. We want to meet everyone and anyone, and we just like to fucking party.
Exactly.
Come be a part of our party.
Dude, and I'm ready to be a part of the party. Next time I go to Seattle, you're going to have to change my mind on my, you know. I feel like I'm opened up to Seattle now that I met you, Benny. Maybe this is just fate's way of saying, hey, man, you're really rough on Seattle. I'm going to put somebody in your life that's going to make you like it again. So
come out to Seattle. We'll have some fun. Come out to an Avoid show in Seattle, and we'll show you that Seattle scene isn't dead.
That's what's up. Guys,
represent to the hometown people, because they really do fucking hold it down strong, and we have a great, great, great support system from out here. And I don't even call them our fans; they're our friends. Everyone that's here, they're our friends, and we are so, so happy to have them supporting us.
And that's what's up, guys. So, Benny, I'm going to take you up on that. We're going to go. We're going to see Seattle. We're going to put on a Dave Matthews record. We're just going to see what happens, brother.
Dude, we're going to have a great day. Dude, you got to come out to see Dave Matthews Band at the Gorge in Washington. Ooh, it's the best.
All right, man. That's what's going to happen. All right. I'm going to go full Seattle for a weekend here the next time we speak.
Dude, you're welcome anytime. My couch is your couch.
Me coucha y su coucha. But yeah, dude, well, awesome, guys. And definitely check out Avoid. It's August 31st, new album. It's called Alone. I've said it a million times. You can check them out. Avoid PNW. I'm going to say that stands for Pacific Northwest.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely knocked it out of the park. That's why they pay me the big bucks here. And speaking of big bucks, if you like what you heard today, which something tells me you did, please like, share, and subscribe to Sean versus Wild. It's on Spotify. It's on YouTube. It's on Facebook. It's on specifically, importantly, iTunes and Stitcher and wherever you get all your podcasts, man. I am everywhere. But support the show. When you support the show by downloading it and listening to it, that helps me, of course. So, yeah.
Yeah, represent my fucking boy.
Yeah, that's what's up, guys. Benny, thanks so much for doing the podcast, brother.
Dude, thank you so much for having me, man. This was so fun.
Dude, hopefully this is just the first of many podcasts to come.
Dude, I am down whenever. I'm free and I love the chat.
Absolutely. Well, hey, I'm going to be taking you up on that. Guys, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Sean versus Wild podcast.
Thank you for listening, DNN.